Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to Wrestle Rock with Rick Connor.
What the F was that entire freaking promo about?
Mark Kalbacher.
She's like the James Ellsworth of women.
And Corey Castle.
I look like Paul London and Brian Kendrick mixed.
Hey, look at us. We're three panels.
Hey, guys.
It's just weird how my camera's angled.
Yeah. Like, what's the far way through the...
You don't have a lot of room. Can't really move around too much like this. That's why I just keep it like this.
Because you don't have a lot of like arm space on your side.
You have none.
You're only this.
Yeah. It's cool that you can move them around though.
Yeah.
Play like a little one of those little shuffle games. I don't know. We're just messing around with stuff. But yeah, man, what's going on, everybody?
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. birthday day, and man, what's that?
You're coming from the whitest guy on the planet.
Oh, I'm not the whitest guy on the planet. Come on, I wouldn't say that.
Just that you called it Martin Luther King Jr. birthday day.
What is that? What it's called?
I'm pretty sure no.
I'm not commenting on it.
No, we should probably stay silent. But we got a good show lined up today, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff happened this week. I want to start with Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre, big shock. Drew McIntyre is going to be out for a while because he tested positive for the ongoing global prick that's ripping this country apart and the world apart. What's that?
He's got the COVID.
COVID, fellas.
In the end, all of us are going to have it. In the end, all of us are going to have it. I've already had it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different levels. Supposedly he's asymptomatic, but, you know, they got to worry about the health of the rest of the staff. So, I mean, you know, is he still on for the Rumble, or are they going to try testing him all the way up for the day off?
I'm assuming that's what I'm hearing is the plan. The Goldberg match is still on with McIntyre and Goldberg for the title for the Royal Rumble. So that's in, 2 weeks now? I think we're 2 weeks away from that. 1 week, something like that.
It gives Drew a good excuse for dropping the belt to Goldberg. He'd be like, oh, it was the COVID. I wasn't recovered all the way. And I couldn't prepare because I had the thing that everybody has that they're not doing too good. And now they're building it up like, oh, Goldberg's never had the WWF championship. So what? He wasn't really a WWF guy. He was a WCW guy. And he won the Universal Championship on a fluke.
He won it twice.
Once
from Kevin Owens, once from the. I don't care that he's never had the main title, whatever, the WWE Heavyweight Championship. I don't care. Goldberg shouldn't have the Universal title either. This goes back to where we were talking last year. He walked into Mania with the Universal Championship against Strowman, of all people, and it's just one of those things where Goldberg has too much creative control over his characters and sees himself as a superhero and like this big role model for children and stuff like that. And he's not. I don't know anyone, even children. I don't know children that care about Goldberg. Definitely not enough to want him to have the title.
This all goes back to how WWE swears they pay attention to their fans, but they're not listening to us at all. There's not a fan across the board, really, that's like, you know what, Goldberg. Like, by the time WCW was sold, like, pretty much his whole allure was gone. Like, everybody was over him. Like, I really think the last big thing he did was when he punched the windshield going after Bret Hart and almost severed his entire forearm. Like, I mean, at least Brock got, like, a decent match out of him in Mania. That four-and-a-half-minute match was awesome. But it's just, I think that it should have ended there, and they keep bringing him back. He's not can they show that he draws? Are the numbers big when he comes back? Like, It's not like Austin coming back.
There's any evidence of him doing, like, if anything being better because of him being there, as far as ratings go. But I don't know. I think I think Goldberg is like the male Nia Jax. Like, nobody really needs him, and he can say, "Well, I'm not like most guys." And no, you're like plenty of guys. We get it. You're fine.
I just he's just not good. He's not good. And where's the threat? Drew's younger, bigger, faster.
20 years different age difference.
A better wrestler, all around better wrestler. Like, where is the threat Goldberg has against him? Like, because he can spear and jackhammer and the match is over. He's got the Tyson punch out type like thing going. Like, it's not, to me, it's not, I don't even care. Like, it's not a match I'm even looking forward to. When you have Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens on the other side of the title belt pitcher in a last man standing match, which is going to be nuts. And it's going to have all kinds of people running in and out of it. Like, this match is going to suck. It's going to suck.
I mean, especially coming off of the fact that McIntyre's, you know, down with the COVID right now. He's down with the sickness, if you will. Like, it's the global thing tearing everybody up. And I don't know if 2 weeks, it's a case by case basis, but sometimes 2 weeks isn't enough to recover from testing positive. So I don't think he's going to be 100%, and I don't think we're going to get another Goldberg versus Lesnar that we got. We'll be lucky to get another Goldberg versus Drew that we got at last year's WrestleMania, which that match stunk. It was cool when Drew won, but it was terrible.
Right. Nobody wanted it. Nobody needed it. We don't care.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, not only that, Goldberg's talent has been in steady decline every time he gets in the ring. Right. Like I said, the only person pulled anything out of him was Brock. And how many years ago was that? Which Mania was that now? Was that 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think that was 34.
It's before him almost. It's before him almost killing the Undertaker with that jackhammer, whatever, basically pop brain buster that the Undertaker didn't know he was taking. That I actually screamed out loud watching that match live.
It was awful.
Nobody wants it. Nobody's asking for it. Like, who was ever like, you know, Goldberg's a good idea? No. Who was doing that? Peace out and piss off, Goldberg. We don't care. Go away.
Peace out and piss off. Yeah, man. And it's scary too with the COVID thing running around, because the NXT guys apparently are reportedly very upset about it. WWE on their main shows seem to be taking care of the guys that are that are on Raw and SmackDown, but NXT is at the Performance Center. Most of them are there 5 days a week, and they're testing them, I think, once a week is what I heard. And it's just not enough, and they're scared, and they're really upset that they're not getting the treatment and the attention that the main roster is getting. So, I mean, I don't think that if the heavyweight champion can get it and he's super protected, then, you know, what chance do these NXT guys have?
Yeah. And it's like it's kind of weird timing for like that to be for like, oh, our WWE champion is out with COVID. We're giving you a WrestleMania this year. It's going to be live, crowds are back. The timing was not so good. But
can we talk about that? How, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm kind of negative on this. I don't want to know where WrestleMania is for 3 and 4 years out now. Like, right. there's no excitement. Remember, you like,
yeah, I don't care about Dallas in 2 years. Come on.
Remember, whatever it be, SummerSlam or whatever, and then it'd be like, or no, Mania. At the end of Mania, you're like, yo, we're going to be, and it would be part of the Mania fun. It's like, oh, where are they going to be next year? And they would announce. Now it's like, oh, well, I know where they're going to be for the next 3 years. It ain't going to be in my town. So,
yeah, maybe it's good for people in Dallas.
Yeah, going back to Dallas. Boo.
Boo.
So what was it? It's Raymond James Stadium this year. Is that what's happening? The thing that we're supposed to do last year with the Pirates and all that gimmicks?
Yeah, it was supposed to be in Tampa Bay, but like Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium. I'm actually excited because it's a really nice facility. And for WWE with that big pirate ship in the middle and all, the place is made for WWE. It's going to be a cool spot to do the show.
Mm-hmm. I make this mistake all the time. Where does AEW do their shows at?
I don't remember. I do not remember.
Jacksonville. They're doing the Jacksonville Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium.
Right.
That's right.
Not
because that's Tony Khan owns the Jaguars.
Right. I make that mistake.
Number one draft this year. They are terrible. they got the first pick in the draft, probably. I think they have the first pick in the draft this year. I have to look it up again.
Cool. Talk more about it. I want to hear all about it.
Nerds. Did you not watch Tom Brady win again last night? It was awesome. And I don't even freaking like, I'm not a Tom Brady fan.
Cool. Write an article about it. I'll surely read it.
Sure. I will.
Oh man, there's the political stuff on Facebook, and then there's the sports stuff on Facebook, and I just keep on scrolling through each of them until I find something I actually
care about. Just do what I did and delete your Facebook and just leave Messenger on there if someone wants to get a hold of you.
Yeah,
I just deleted Facebook altogether.
Yeah. So we know where WrestleMania is going to be for the next 3 years, 37, 38, and 39. I don't really care. To be honest with you, it's cool that they announced that. I mean, it was part of the WrestleMania fun. It's like, oh, I wonder where they're going to be. Are they going to be anywhere near me? Can I go? And now I know I don't have a shot at going to WrestleMania until WrestleMania 40. So that kind of sucks.
Well, that's again, it was part of the pageantry of WrestleMania. It was like you watch a match at an end, and then they would get all excited, and it's like, and we're going to be here next year. It's like, oh, cool, man. Like, and it would be part of the Mania fun. And they just – I don't know what is with WWE anymore. I don't know if it's because of their no longer – they're not a private-owned company. They're a public company that they feel like they need to lay all this stuff out. And it's not even – it almost sounds like it's not for us. It's for shareholders sometimes.
Yeah. It's for the ability to make the announcement is why the announcement's happening. Like, because they can go, look, we got stuff on the calendar. Like, that's kind of more what it's like. So no one can go like, oh, WWE's not going out of business. We got WrestleMania's planned for the next couple of years. Like, it's the ability to show the investors and the owners that, like, WWE's going to continue going strong.
And let's see if there's stuff.
Yeah, we gotta
pay attention to stocks right now.
We need that down around $20 a share if we can. But I wonder, I agree with you, Corey. I think that's definitely part of it, but I wonder if they're going to start jacking up prices and do like price packaging and stuff like that. And like somehow or another use this to gain more money from the fans that are going to these shows. Because if they're saying that they're bringing back fans already this year, and tickets are going to go on sale for these WrestleManias. So I wonder if that's got something to do with that. Well, I don't know. It's just a thought.
I mean, I'm sure that has a part to play in it. Like, oh, well, we got to have this, like this door gate already giving us income, and it's 2 years in advance. So we're getting money from this door, you know what I mean? From the gate. And here's how we'll gouge ya.
Gouge. We're gonna gouge ya.
Here's how we're gonna gouge ya. Do you want a small Pepsi 2 years from now? Gouged.
If I move to Texas, maybe by the end of this year, maybe I'll be at the next year's. Where I'm moving, it's only like a 4 hour drive.
There you go. 4 hours is nothing.
So you're moving to Texas, Mark?
What's that?
You're moving to Texas?
Most likely. It depends. depends on if this business ever picks up with everything going on.
Well, this is the first I'm hearing of it. I don't know if this is the first Rick's hearing it. Well, what part of Texas are you planning on moving to?
I forgot the name of the town. It's between San Antonio and Austin. So I'm going to move somewhere where I can buy land and a house. And it's a third of the cost of living in Philadelphia. So I'm going to go out there. And then I have the cool town 20, 30 minutes away, Austin, where all the little hip kids are and everything's cool. And then I have San Antonio, like another 20, 30 minutes away in the opposite direction. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
I can buy a house and have a dog and all the cool stuff.
Do all that stuff in Texas. Get yourself a ranch. Get yourself a dog out on the ranch. Get yourself one of those Kawasaki mules.
Bro, if you get a Kawasaki mule, I'll be there to ride it. But we can't talk about like football because I still will not know what we're talking about.
Dude, you're gonna text you can't talk football. They're gonna throw you out of here. Well, those people know what a 14-year-old high school quarterback can do. They're obsessed about football down here.
Oh my god,
they can have it.
They can have it.
you guys get to watch any of the Dusty tournament?
I'm currently watching some of it right now. I saw the Breezango Undisputed Era match.
Great match.
Watching everything that filled up before that.
Great match. I understand them putting the finish with what they did with Pete Dunne and all that, but we all know Breezango is very underrated, like how good they are, especially Tyler. Tyler Breeze is phenomenal. Dude,
Fandango makes everyone look like such a small person. Like, you never realize how big that dude is. I was watching it, and I was like, wow, he's just towered over all of these people. He's like 6'4".
Like, you had four great guys in the ring. The match was really fun. I just sucks that they're keeping it with the storyline with Pat McAfee's crew. But I enjoy Pat McAfee's crew, so it's like one of those like bittersweet things because I really would like to see them go again at each other in like a real match. The only thing I can say is Ever-Eyes is terrible.
Yeah. There's just nothing memorable about him. There's nothing like star factor. I want to see what their matches are. It's like, to me, I just get caught up on thinking about that Vaporize from Envy. Oh, so where does the poo go?
We had another team that debuted in this thing, MSK. Have you guys?
Impact guys.
This is a new team, right?
They're from Impact. I don't know much about them because the only thing I'm not able to get Impact, and I've been wanting to check it out. Is the shows aren't great, but their highs are better than most highs in WWE. Their lows are just really awful.
Yeah, their lows are like 2000 WCW feel, like that vibe, like where it's like everything's sort of like a.
But
figuring it out as we go, and we're not able to figure it out.
Yeah, they WCW was. I think Deonna Purrazzo is killing it over there. I think she's doing a great job.
Never.
The Good Brothers are doing a great job. I'm glad they got away from the murder story they were doing with Tommy Dreamer. But Moose is. I don't get how this guy's not a world champion in a major federation. Guy's awesome. But like, yeah, these guys are from Impact. They gave him a really good send off too. They didn't bury him on their way out. They actually gave him a send off and thanked him for being an Impact, and it was a big emotional thing. That was my first time actually seeing them wrestle though. Was the tournament? They were good. I would like to see more of them to see where it is. They're definitely better than Ever-Eyes. Rick Martel's kid, all he did is scream through the entire match and annoyed the hell. I was getting frustrated. It's like I get you're trying to get some kind of personality out to stand out, but when you're doing a clothesline, I just see your beer gut roll out because you're nowhere near you know, I guess you didn't find your dad's medicine cabinet to start working to wrestle. And I loved Rick. I was actually a huge fan of Rick Martel. I thought he was a great wrestler. I thought a great character too. So I thought his son would, you know, show some of that, and no.
Well, if you remember, Rick Martel was always great when he was with Tito Santana and Strikeforce, and then he teamed up with Tom Zenk, I think, for the Can-Am Connection as well. He never really stood out to me when he was in those two tag teams. The only time he ever stood out was when he went heel and he became the model.
Yeah, with Sherry.
That was with Sherry, yeah. That was when I started really noticing Rick Martel. But before that, it was just like, okay, he's part of a tag team. Neat. You know, it was just not really a good worker, don't get me wrong, but just nothing really stood out to me about Martel. So maybe that's the same thing that's going on with his son. He needs the right gimmick and the right character and to be on his own.
That might be true, but I really think the other thing too is it also shows you the talent of Sensational Sherry back in the 80s and like early 90s. Like she could take a nobody and she just made him, for some reason, her standing next to him made him a star.
Yeah, she had like a pixie dust that she would sprinkle on whoever she was working with to make them a star.
She was awesome. She was absolutely awesome. I love Sherry. Like that's a woman that's definitely missed and very needed in wrestling now, is just as a mentor for a lot of the people that are out there, like the female wrestlers. If Sherry was still around now, okay, what she could be like giving these girls, like learning wise, would be amazing.
Yeah. She was absolutely fantastic with even with Ted DiBiase, who was already a star. Somehow she made him even bigger, even higher.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is another perfect one.
She was a huge part of getting Shawn Michaels to where he is now. She was a massive part of that.
And she sang the song first before him.
She did.
What a stupid song. Did I tell you guys that I was like, my girlfriend is not a wrestling fan at all? Yes. And I was just singing the song to her, and she's like, "What the hell are you what the hell are you singing? Stop it. That's the worst thing ever." And I was like, "I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I got the looks to drive a girl wild. I got the moves." And she was like, "Okay, stop. And she was saying stop from the second I started, and I just had to torture her with the terrible lyrics of "I'm just a sexy boy."
Was this on a road trip where she couldn't go anywhere?
Yeah.
she just opens a door, rolls into traffic.
Oh, man. Yeah, that song sucks. There's a lot of theme songs that are like that, where it works in the moment, but like Hogan's theme song is terrible. Yeah. Like, and as an actual song, Real American is garbage. It's absolute garbage. But if you play it in a wrestling arena and Hogan's coming out, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that context is required.
Yeah.
But as a standalone, as a song, not so good.
They all did. Mark Henry's hit, you know, like, dude, that song would hit. You know, somebody was going to beat the hell up.
Beat him up. But
the lyrics in that song is so bad.
Don't want to go get your ass whipped. Beat him up. Break his neck.
Dude, Jericho's lyrics make absolutely no sense. The old break the walls down. Like, that song's terrible. But he'd stand up there with the arms and you're break the wall. Everybody would lose their minds. Like, just... nobody heard the lyrics after that. It didn't matter.
For those about to rock, set your clock. All right. Noted.
Alarm set. Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, man. Wrestling theme songs are the worst. Absolutely. There's some good ones out there, but I mean, like we were talking... I don't know how long ago it was, but we looked up the lyrics to AJ Styles' theme song.
Oh, yeah.
And that's garbage.
Farmer's drink.
Southern boy with a farmer's drink.
What the hell? It's a Mack truck. Don't get run over.
Since we're talking about music anyway, and then yeah, we shouldn't really plug other places, but check out What Culture did a video on the weirdest music videos that wrestlers in music videos.
I'm looking it up and right now.
We're talking about AJ Styles. It's really interesting to see him in a music video where he plays a love interest to a country singer. Oh, man. And he's like the handyman, and she broke everything in the house so she could like have him come to the house. And it's just so weird because it's young AJ with the short, spiky hair, no beard.
Oh, boy.
Like no. X Division AJ.
Well, remember AJ's theme song back in the X Division days? Was bad. That was bad song. But it was like you could associate that it was AJ Styles, but you needed that context in order for that to be a decent song. Because it was like the song was like, you are, I am," and that was like the words to the song. Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, the songs only work when they're an actual real song. Like the Wyatt Family, I forget the name of the singer, but that's an actual real folk song. The one he used to come out to, and you know, Cult of Personality and all the ECW guys used to come out to whatever was like huge at the time, man. Like,
yeah, like then that was a big licensing nightmare when they like put out ECW the album and it was all just like Muzak versions of those songs
because they were flying under radar and nobody knew they were using their music.
Karaoke music, sleep with one eye open with some like a cover band from the corner bar.
Were we talking about that last week though? Like, you had the Sandman. Here it is.
And I got this video. I can't play the music because of the copyrights and all that. All right, let's go, Mr. AJ Styles. Pop up in here. What is going on? This mute. Like, I understand she's breaking a bunch of stuff, but otherwise
she's like some country board. Pop singer. I don't know. She's
her
called
name,
AJ.
Okay, her name is Dixie Farter.
Dixie Farter. There he is. Wow, the short hair is just really great. Who is this? Sarah Darling. AJ Styles, something to do with your hands. Okay.
AJ Styles is the king of queens.
He's so bad.
Oh, this is so nuts. All right. I'm gonna have to keep an eye on this.
I've had enough.
Like looking at all her stuff.
Mr. Okay. Handy.
Mr. Handy. Yeah.
This is kind of on the rapey side of things a little bit. It's just reverse like coming over to my house. Yeah.
Come it's like reverse rapey, though. It's like rapey girl. Rapey. Thing is reverse rapey.
Yeah, I don't know if we can throw caveats on it like that. Rapey's rapey. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who the victim is.
Yeah. Oh, man. What else is going on? Kofi Kingston, man. I thought it was a work, but it turns out he's actually injured, man. He has some kind of undisclosed, broken jaw or something like that. It said undisclosed jaw injury. I don't know if they came out with anything after that. But, yeah, he's going to be out for, I think, 6 weeks, something along those lines. It looks like
Woods needs to kind of be out there on his own. Like, he hasn't ever had really the opportunity. So, I mean, like, he did okay, but, like, he for sure lost to T-Bar. You know what I was realizing? The Retribution, all their names sound like parts to something. We're like, oh, can you hand me the T-Bar real quick? I gotta work on this mace. That's not that's the slapjack. I need the mace. Get over. Just get out of here.
They're going to introduce two new wrestlers, Tyrod and Driveshaft. They sound like bad Cobra, like bad guys.
Right.
Like when it was G.I. Joe and Cobra, like Cobra would get all the car themes.
you're really in for it when Monkey Wrench shows up on Raw next week.
He was an actual real. He was actually one of Zarte's bad guys. Monkey Wrench was actually. He was one who drove a car.
Oh my god!
Like bad Transformers.
The GoBots.
The GoBots, yeah. Kmart Transformers. Retribution is picking up steam, though. They got wins 2 weeks, a couple weeks in a row. They beat Ricochet a bunch of times. And then...
No one cares. Yeah, it's sad because they do well. I think they do okay, but like I just have a hard time caring.
They took too long that they lost too much in too long.
Yeah,
and it sucks because all four or five of them, whatever it is. I don't know Dio. Like I said, I don't know Dio's. I've never seen him wrestle besides.
Oh, there. He had a pretty good match recently. He wrestled Ricochet, and they had a really good match. He's Mace, right?
Yeah. No, he's a. Is he Mace?
Yeah, he's Mace. I think. Right. Okay. Yeah. T-Bar is Dijakovic, and then who's the other one? Slappy Puss or whatever his face is.
Slappy Puss.
What does the problem when you have too many paper plates?
old trusty tool belt over here.
Mr. Handy. Besides, you know, is it Mustafa now? Is that how he says his pronounce his name? So I don't like to call people by the wrong name. Besides him, who's extremely talented, Dijakovic is awesome. We've already witnessed personality ain't there, but he's great. The guy from was it MI? What the hell was their name? I almost called him MI6 or MS3.
It was like Shane Thorne, right?
Gang or like military, like whatever they were. The Australian tag team, they were great. Mm-hmm. He was actually a really talented dude. And you know, Mia Yim is Mia Yim. She has great matches, and then she stinks for like a month and a half, and then has another great match.
Yeah, they're all good in their own right, and if they would let Mustafa Ali do the promos that he's doing on Raw Talk, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those, but those have been great, and I think they're just letting him go out there and say whatever he wants to get his character over, but they're doing it on Raw Talk, which is a show nobody watches. I've seen clips of it on YouTube, but they're not hodgepodge. Yeah, pretty much. It's Sunday Night Hodgepodge. But if they would let him do that on Raw, I think the entire group would get over. But they're not doing it. So
here's the weird thing, though. There's rumors, speaking of Raw Talk, because Ricochet was on there recently. And, you know, talking about how he just can't win. But now there's a rumor that he did not sign his contract.
Right. Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
So you think they're going to move Xavier Woods into his spot now that he doesn't have Kofi, and he's going to be the guy who keeps losing to them, and then they try to get him to join, and then Ricochet just goes away. And now there's a rumor: is Riddle didn't sign either, or something like that? I've been hearing rumors that maybe Matt Riddle didn't sign. That sucks because I'm really looking forward to him having an actual real match with Bobby Lashley instead of like a 30-second match.
Bro. I can't enjoy Matt Riddle stuff that much. Like I know what he's doing is like it's trying to be wrestling, but it's not wrestling. And then like when he does a promo and he's like, you know, like when you go to eat a piece of pizza, bro, and like you smell it, and like, come on, stop. This is not cool. Just be a wrestler or don't or go away.
I don't know. I go back and forth with Riddle. Like he's got that weird comedy gimmick going on. But
he can't throw a punch. Like for a guy who's a fighter, he can't throw a like his everything looks like flaily and like when a bad guy can't fight in a movie and they make him punch somebody and then he goes ah like selling the hand. That's what he looks like, but he's not selling the hand afterwards. It just looks like he's doing like wimpy strikes.
Wimpy strikes.
Yeah. Little wimpy strikes. more thing I want to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hit a thing? Go ahead. Go ahead.
One more thing I wanted to talk about before we move on. Apparently, there's a big thing going on between Mark Henry and Ryback on Twitter. Did you guys see this? Hear about all that?
No. I so loosely heard about it, and I almost started to almost not care even more than I don't not care for one second. And I went right back to not caring.
You know what? Whatever the fight is, I'm going to back Mark Henry on it because at least Mark Henry did something in pro wrestling. He was part of he was part of the Nation of Domination. Then he floundered for years, but then the Hall of Pain is one of the best runs in years for a wrestler. I loved the Hall of Pain. Yeah. And what did Ryback do?
Right. He just said, feed me more, and he would call people stupid.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Go back to CM Punk, what do you call him? The steroid guy? You just straight up call him the steroid guy?
I mean, it all started. Fox put out some, Fox on WWE put out something on Twitter. It's like, oh, who's the greatest person that never won a WWE title? And Ryback just came out and was like, wrestling's fake. Who cares? Belts are props. And Mark Henry, of course, had a problem with this. It's like, I was a heavyweight champion and it was more than a prop. And, you know, he went on this whole thing. And Ryback pretty much bitched out and just started apologizing like crazy. Like, I meant no disrespect and blah, 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 blah. And just kind of, it was almost like a please, Mr. Henry, don't beat me up type of thing. So it was.
Beat him up.
Right, you know, you know where that comes from, right? You know exactly where that comes from. So Ryback is desperate to stay relevant. Sorry, that's what it is. You know,
yeah.
Like all of us, the three of us are trying to get our show out there and try to get people to watch it. He's desperate to stay relevant and get people to still listen to his garbage podcast. His show is garbage. Mm-hmm. All right, because I'm not going to take your view on things because, you know, I just never respected the guy. To go and lash out against someone like Mark Henry, dude, you have no. Or, I mean, well, I'm sorry. He lashed out against the
business. Comment. Yeah.
You better apologize to Mark Henry. Like that guy's earned respect. Like that guy's had highs and lows. And I mean, and when it came to lows, that guy stuck it out through everything to get back. Like I said, he went through how many years of just losing and Central Chocolate and all the other stupid stuff they did with him. To finally get that 2-year run is the Hall of Pain, which that 2-year run was fantastic. You know?
Absolutely. And he's in the actual Hall of Fame now, I believe, right?
I hate Ryback so much. I just hate him, dude. I never, like, he could have been somebody. You know, he could have been somebody, but he just didn't learn how to not hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about Nia Jax. That he was the male Nia Jax. Like, that's all he did was hurt people.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, let's stop talking about things that we hate and start talking about things that we love, because it's time to shine that spotlight on somebody that did great this week and find out who wins wrestling.
Who wins wrestling? Blah, 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 blah.
Who wants to go first? Anybody got one?
Me!
Or you got one? Go for it.
Cesaro wins wrestling. He went on Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. That's major, major thing. So I really can't – like, he's been underused for a long, long, long time. This might be, like, the shot he needs to start going in the direction he should be in.
Yeah. That was an absolutely great match. It was a – a great win for Cesaro. Cesaro very rarely wins, especially in such a big match against a big name like Daniel Bryan. And right before, I think it was right before or right after, he declared himself in the Royal Rumble, which I think is absolutely fantastic. I hope that they build him up and they can actually – I mean, he's not going to win, obviously, pretty much. It's like I'm like 95% sure he's not going to win. But it'd be great build-up to it to make him one of the bigger names that are in the match. So I'm excited to see it.
He was definitely a bright point in a very good SmackDown show. SmackDown flowed really well, and that's what I mean. Like Cesaro, they started out with the whole Shinsuke Nakamura thing, with Shinsuke being in the ring with Jey Uso, and he was there was a lot of like lines he used that basically looked like maybe they're going to turn Shinsuke face and he's going to be the heel. Maybe we can see those guys wrestle, which I would love.
They changed his music back to what it used to be, so it doesn't have the lyrics in it anymore. There's not the singer person anymore. So that might be something like to kind of babyface him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did a great job. I mean, for a guy's English isn't great. I thought his like you must be the puppy line was actually really well done. I SmackDown just was just boom, 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 and the show was over. Like
boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. Let's spend the night together from now until forever. Is that how the song goes?
No.
I'm old enough to remember to go on the roller skate rinks while that song was playing. But
That's the new theme song to SmackDown. SmackDown comes on. Can you get together a video of like the entrance for like the beginning of SmackDown with that song playing over top?
Probably. Very odd, but yeah, I could probably do that.
That'll be for our 300th episode.
Mark, what do you got, man? Who wins wrestling?
I came close to picking Moose, but I'm going to go with Adam Pearce. Because for the first time in ages, with the exception of William Regal, who always looks like he's in control and he's smarter than the people that try to mess with him, they showed this whole story where they thought like Roman Reigns was going to get over him. Roman Reigns has too much power, and then he pulled that trick knee when he was walking up the ramp. And I just thought that was really well done. And then he explains, like, look, the WWE official gets to name another wrestler, and then Kevin Owens' music hits, and Owens walks out with that big smile. I thought it was well done. It was really hard to find a way to get Kevin Owens back into another match. And I thought they found probably the best way of doing it. And Paul Heyman did great in his part. Roman did great in his part. I really appreciate like Adam Pearce, like, you know, instead of seeing him wrestle, which I don't know if he's good or not. I didn't know him back in the day, but I prefer to see Kevin Owens instead of Adam Pearce in the ring.
Right. Mm-hmm. To see somebody you've never seen before be in a main event match against the champion at a major pay-per-view just seems like it's not as fitting as to see someone like Kevin Owens get that spot.
And the way Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns have been wrestling, that last man standing match is going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be stellar, but it's definitely going to be better than pretty much anything but the Rumble in that match. I mean, on that night. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Me too. That's probably the besides the Rumble match itself or themselves, because we got two Rumble matches. I think that main event of Reigns and Kevin Owens is going to be absolutely fantastic. Even though I've seen it before, even though this is the third time they've been wrestling on a pay per view in the main event spot, I think it's each one just seems to be getting better. So I'm still loving the storyline. I'm still 100% involved in it and invested. So yeah, absolutely. I was debating on who to go with for Who Wins Wrestling this week because there was so much good stuff, especially on SmackDown. I thought about Cesaro. I thought about Nakamura. I thought about Adam Pearce because Adam Pearce actually made me care about some authority figure for the first time in I don't know how long. But I think I'm going to have to go with Breezango because that they were such a joke tag team in on the main roster, and for them to go into NXT and rebuild their entire name and their reputation and everything, and now they're in the main event of NXT against Undisputed Era in a fantastic match. I think it was the best match on the show.
Definitely.
And had a lot to do with Oney Larkin and Danny Burch and Pete Dunne interfering and Finn Balor coming to the rescue. Like, it all was so great, and Breezango was right there in the middle of it, keeping up with everything. Those guys are absolutely great, and NXT really has a hot tag team on their hands. I really hope they go forward with pushing these guys. They just lost the tag team titles not too long ago. I hope that they get another run in it. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
Did you almost say Lacey Evans as well?
Oh, God.
Hold on. Two of you talking. Go ahead. You go say what you're saying.
I said, did you almost say Lacey Evans wins wrestling because of her affiliation with Ric Flair now?
She got Ric Flair booty on Monday night. Is that why she won? His old 70-year-old face just wooing in hers.
Yeah, this is people were complaining about the Buddy Murphy and Mysterio's daughter storyline being gross because of the age difference. This is a 40-something year old. What's that?
This is way grosser.
Yeah.
Because I think Buddy Murphy, I think what's Buddy Murphy? It's like 23, 24, right?
He's like 31.
Is he 30? Jesus. All right, sorry. I thought he was still in his 20s, so it wasn't that bad. All right. Sorry. The other one's way grosser.
Yeah. Mysterio's daughter is like 19. So it's legal, but it's still gross. This whole thing, it's odd. It's very reminiscent of the Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie storyline. With Tori Wilson's father, where he ended up dying in a hotel room after having sex with her.
Do you think that it's going to be something like it's going to get a little more like Attitude Era-esque, like they're get a little more riskier with it?
Yeah.
You think?
I definitely think so. I mean, it's not going to get as crazy because it's Lacey Evans. She's not known for being like a sex symbol or anything like that. She's like the classy lady. But yeah, absolutely. I can see them.
Did you guys catch when Flair put her foot up on the rope and let her get the rope break? Then Charlotte like looked at Ric Flair and was like, "This hooker?" She said, "This hooker."
No. Did she say hooker?
Yeah.
She was awful.
She's like, "You're trying to help this hooker?"
The sad part is, being a toxic male that I am, Lacey Evans is hotter. She is. She's so much hotter than Rick's daughter.
I mean,
we didn't get to talk about it. I was going to ask you guys, what do you think about possibly Apollo Crews joining Roman Reigns and Jey Uso?
Yeah, what is that about?
It's like really out of left field.
Yeah, it confused me. It feels like it came out of nowhere.
We were talking about before Corey came on, you know, you can see a lot of Heyman's fingerprints all over SmackDown. Do you think, because Heyman's a big proponent of him when he was on Raw. You think Heyman's just trying to find a way to get Apollo into, the kid is beyond talented. I mean, they just got to get him some kind of personality besides smiling. And I think that first stage of him walking over and just pulling Big E's belt off the table and then throwing it to Big E, showing that he has like at least a chip on his shoulder, kind of really worked. And then if he joins Roman's crew, I think Roman having a faction might be really, really cool if he has a faction, instead of putting all the work on Jey Uso's shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of, I had that thought before, but I was kind of hoping for like a Samoan dynasty type of thing, not just, you know, random people that we decided to turn heel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Apollo Crews, like what does he have to do with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso? Like those two are family, and like it made sense. Like I was like, all right, maybe Jimmy will come back, or maybe, you know, one of the 17,000 other people that are involved in this Anoa'i family. When one of them can, you know, they can all be in it. You know, there's a ton. Put Tamina in there. Put Nia Jax in there if you have to. Or give her something interesting to do.
If Joe wasn't so hurt, I would love to see Roman show up on Raw and just tell Joe why he's on commentary. Come on, let's go. And they like just do like mysterious, and Joe just puts his headphones and walks away with Roman, and like you get Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns together. But I don't know what his status is health wise. So, and right now I need him on Raw because he's the only commentary I can listen to.
Yeah, it's not great on Raw. I would love it if Joe came back in the Rumble. Like if Joe was on commentary in the Rumble and all of a sudden his music hits, like the countdown happens, his music hits, and he just puts the headphones down and hops in the ring.
He pulls Lawler. If he pulls a Booker T or Lawler where he like has his gear underneath his clothes, oh, that'd be awesome. I'll be so happy.
I'm just fantasy booking now, but yeah, that's what that's what's on my brain. That'd be fantastic if it happened. We got to start wrapping up this show. Mark, do you have anything to tell us? Anything? Any plugs or anything like that?
Indoor dining open up in Philly. 25%. Go support a restaurant.
Absolutely. Make these restaurants happen again, people. Corey, what do you got, man?
Check out my podcast, Evolving with Corey Castle. New episodes every Monday at noon on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you let us know you exist. If you like what we're putting out, you know, comment on the YouTube video below. Make sure you hit your like and you hit the subscribe and you check out Rick's YouTube channel, and I'll let him plug that.
Hey, yeah, don't do my plugs. Get away from my plugs, mister.
Well, I'm only saying that because we broadcast this show on your YouTube channel.
We're all on it, so it's cool. But yeah, man, tinyurl.com/YouTube Rick Connor. That is my YouTube channel. If you're already watching this show on it, thank you very much. Please give us a comment. Like the video and share it and subscribe. Help us out a great deal. If you're listening on the podcast version, thank you very much. Leave a comment below. Rate the podcast. You'll be helping us out a great deal with that as well. Go to WrestleRock.com, man. This is where you can see everything. You can get all the videos that we've ever done for the channel. For the podcast, rather. All the episodes of the podcast in audio form are up there. There's a link to our Simplecast. There's a link to our shop where everything is connected to a charity. It's all going to help some people out. So check out our shop. Buy yourself a t-shirt or a sticker or a hoodie or a mug or whatever you want. We got all kinds of merchandise on there. And I also do another podcast with Mark Kalbacher's sister called And Something to Do. You can find us on iTunes and wherever you listen to podcasts. That will be about it for this episode of Wrestle Rock. I'm Rick Connor.
Mark Kalbacher.
Corey Castle.
And let's take it out like we always do with Mr. Nick Burke.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Join us again for another episode of Wrestle Rock. This has been Jay Davis speaking.